This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Holy Spirit, we say thank you. We say thank you for today. We thank you for another opportunity. We thank you for the grace and the ability to be in our right minds, to have the know-how to go and research and find out. Find out more of who you are. Find out how you love us and how you care for us. But find out the different resources that are available to us. Holy Spirit, you say in your word that a people perish because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of wisdom. And I think a lot of times, Holy Spirit, we don't know what we have access to. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the wonderful push and the urge for us to just to do the research that we can find out what's going on in our towns, what's going on in our cities, what's going on in our communities, and what's going on with ourselves and our own bodies when we're feeling pain, when we're feeling heaviness, when we could be feeling depression and not noticing. We just thank you that we have the ability to, one, research and find out what we can do to be better, and then also just to be better people all the way around. And we just thank you for another week to do that. We say grace, grace, and blessings, blessings. Amen.
No, no.
All right, the Grammy nominations are in, and Dua Lipa, Taylor Swift, and Roddy Ricch are among the top nominated. But, Beyonce, let's say her name one more time. Beyonce takes the lead of the pack. Beyonce is receiving 9 nominations, Legendary Children, for her single, Black Parade, which was cute, her album, Black is King, which is stunning. And if you did not watch it, it's on Disney Plus. The visual is amazing. She at least spent at least $60 million, but you know, she got a billion, so she got it. And she received a nomination for her feature on Savage. Okay, Classy, Bougie, Ratchet with Miss Meg Thee Stallion. So let's clap it up for her. And other notable nominations include Doja Cat, Post Malone, Big Sean, Billie Eilish, Janae Aiko, and Coldplay. Really? Girl, what they put out? I haven't heard anything. And while there are so many artists excited about the chance to win an award from the Recording Academy, there were plenty of other artists who were very vocal about the Recording Academy and questioned some of the nominations. The Weeknd tweeted, now before we go into what The Weeknd said about the, now last week I talked about The Weeknd looking, you know, a little crazy, looking with the blood. I didn't understand, it looked like he crossed over to the dark side. Turns out that he's giving this whole look, speaking about drinking and driving and why you shouldn't do it. I get you, Mr. Weeknd. It's cute. I mean, it's still a little scary. But I mean, if you dead in a car crash, that's scary. Okay, lovely. So shout out to The Weeknd. The Weeknd tweeted about the need for transparency. Drake called for the Grammys to be replaced. Halsey accused artists of using bribery for their nomination. We see you in these streets. Even Mr. Justin Bieber, I'm a little Bieber because he's cute with his little creepy man mustache. Shout out to him and his lovely wife, who was nominated in the pop album category, commented on the category he was nominated, posting on IG, although he was grateful for his pop vocal album nomination, his album was intentionally an R&B album. I don't know if I would agree with that, but are we shocked and surprised? No. We have seen this erasure happen before. Justin Timberlake, Bruno Mars, you know, anybody who is white or light skinned who thinks they can, thinks that they should belong in R&B when the reality is that he is a part of pop culture. And that's why his album was in pop. There's nothing about it that sounds R&B outside of his little cute. So sorry. That's just me. Fight me in the comments. Now, earlier this year, the Recording Academy made changes to the categories traditionally that included Black and Latin artists to include language that is more current and inclusive. For an example, now the category for Best Urban Contemporary Album is the Best Progressive R&B.
trash. They also invited 23 new music professionals to be a part of the vote. They even fired someone for cheating. Oh, now they firing folks for cheating. Cute. And then they also had that lovely young lady, we need to find her name, who put out a lovely public letter and outed out what the Grammys has been doing for years, okay? So is this enough? I'm going to say no, because rap music still is not considered pop. It's still not considered in the pop category where it should be. You know what I mean? Like, Nicki Minaj is not a hardcore rapper. She is a pop artist. You know what I mean? Drake is not a hardcore rapper. He is a pop artist. These rappers need to be in the category, right? I mean, am I alone in that? Tupac and Drake are like two different rappers. You know what I mean? Like, now that's another thing. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about how Tupac's music has changed the world? Okay, I know old white men that know, that can quote full lyrics. Probably your daddy, girl, can quote the full Tupac song. Do you know Tupac has never received a Grammy nomination? Do you know Miss Diana Ross has never received? Okay, sad, girl, just sad. Anyway, but we're going to change it, girl, soon and very, very soon. We do want to say that Beyoncé does have the most Grammys for a female artist. She has 24 Grammys, okay? I want to know, is it all on one wall? Does she have them, you know, sporadically around the house? Maybe, you know, maybe one of the Grammys is like the thing that she holds her toilet paper up on, you know? Just, anyway, very cute for them, though. All right, y'all. Now, are we really acting like COVID isn't real? Like, it's really not going on? Like, it's not killing people out in these streets, for real, for real? It seems to me like COVID just stops at the Floridian border. Like, kind of, anybody can just fly to Miami or Orlando and just go Daytona, just have the time of their life, girl. Just COVID-free, girl. Just lovely. Like, COVID numbers are still rising, legendary children, okay? According to the New York Times, as of November 13th, there were over 177,000 cases, people diagnosed with COVID. More than 70,000 people were hospitalized as of November 17th. Okay, like at what point are we not going to take this seriously? Okay, here. Intensive care units around the country are running low on beds. Like, if you get sick, where are they going to put you, okay? If you get injured in a car accident, in or whatever, girl, you accidentally, like, use the food processor and chop off your finger, girl, like, they're out of beds. Doctors and nurses are at their wits end working nonstop hours. They are experiencing depression, legendary children, for experiencing death at a never-before-seen rate, like, if the doctors and nurses are stressed, legendary children, what are we going to do? Okay. Meanwhile, they're seeing patients who don't believe in the virus until they are in the ICU. Beloved, let that not be you. We should take this seriously. States like California, New York, Ohio, and Washington have heightened restrictions in the last week. What does this say about human nature and our ability to not follow directions? Are we being responsible? Think about that. That's a real question for ourselves. Like, are we being responsible? Okay, this segment, holiday foods. Now, we have seen the craziest foods online, right? Like, we've seen y'all folks cook some of the grossest stuff.
What's that?
Girl, that's a booty hole.
We saw that one lady wash her greens in Dawn dish soap.
Ooh, ah, the ghetto.
Rude and gross, okay? Now, do you know that some of these businesses out here in these streets decided to hop on the weird food chain? Here we go. True Moo, they decided to drop a green mint vanilla milk for Christmas. I don't know what that's going to look like, green mint. So maybe like Breyers. Okay, maybe it tastes like Breyers ice cream. I could be into that. Okay, you know, at first it sounded gross. Green mint vanilla milk. I think that could be good. Okay, Arctic McPhee, y'all, have y'all heard of them? They have a new macaroni and cheese that is flavored like candy canes, okay? Now, I am a macaroni and cheese connoisseur. Like, it's what I do. It's what I eat, okay? Now, this candy cane thing, I'm a little nervous, but I will try it. and leave my review. Do you know that they have kale flavored candy canes? Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like somebody has been a horrible individual for the holidays. And so that's why Santa Claus is giving you kale flavored candy canes, or they're trying to make sure that you can stay thin during the holidays. That's what it sounds like to me. Like, I want a candy cane, but I don't want to gain no calories. Okay. We have a white chocolate peppermint flavor. Are you ready for this, legendary children? From Pringles. Pringles, who has given us sour cream and onion, those delicious cheese flavor, you know, the orange pack or the pizza pack or even the original. Now they're going to be real bold and do a white chocolate. I might try it. It might be good. It might be salty and sweet. I could be into it. And for all of my sour heads out there who love that sour tart flavor in the back of your jaw, we have reindeer sour flavored poop for your enjoyment and delicious consumption. Okay, lovely. Tell me if you buy them. Look, if somebody gets the macaroni and cheese, send me a video of you eating it. That way I know you ate it, and tell me if it's good or not. All right. Now, y'all know I want to make sure that our mental health is good. So mental health for the holidays. So our lovely, lovely Meghan Markle, she revealed in the New York Times, she wrote that she had a miscarriage back in July, right? And so basically she's letting all of us know that she's not okay, right? And she's also saying that we need to ask one another, are we okay? And like, when we ask that, to really, really mean it, okay? Because she wrote, she says, this year has brought so many of us to our breaking points. Loss and pain has plagued everyone in 2020. And it's so, so true. How often do we really say to someone, even to ourselves, are you okay? But like, for real, for real. Because we know how to say, oh yeah, girl, I'm all right. I'm fine. You know, I'm just pushing through. But it's okay. One, to not be okay, and it's okay to let other people that you're not okay. Okay, so let's just make sure that we're doing that. This year has been one for the books. With COVID, with many of us being out of works, gatherings are limited, public grief, the outcry after the death of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, all of these damn politics. Some people miss their families while some are at peace without them. We can't see our friends like we used to. If we can, it has to be like crazy distance. Other of us can't see our loved ones and friends because they've gone away back home just because of, you know, the cost of living. And some of our loved ones and friends have passed on. So this has just really, really taken a toll on us. But here are my top tips for mental health during the holiday season. One, please make sure that you check in with yourself first. And how you check in with yourself. Now, if you're like me, you roll over, you kick that leg out, boom. I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. And then I go, because we got to get started with the day. Right after I do that, I go, okay, we are here, we are alive, and we can continue. Okay. Then we get up and we look ourselves in the mirror, and then I affirm myself with more truths. Okay. So whatever truths that you need to affirm yourselves with, do so. And the reason that I do that is because I live alone. Okay. And so I spend long time, like periods of time by myself. Okay. So if you're doing it, make sure that you are first loving and affirming you. Second of all, checking in on someone else that you know is going to check on you. So, you know, like one, you call your mama, your mama's going to be like, boo-boo, how are you? How are you? Good? Are you eating? Are you drinking water? Are you eating your vegetables? You staying inside? You know, you sanitizing? Boom, boom, boom. Check me with your friends. That way you can also, one, keep each other up. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and y'all can keep, you know, be each other's support system. So that, two, during the holiday season. Now, if you are going to make the choice to go home, one, I'm going to say, think about it. Is it necessary? Because you have to think about, do you want to put any of your loved ones at risk for catching the virus, as well as your loved ones putting you at risk of catching COVID? So we don't want that. So just one thing, if you know that your parents or your family for the holidays are going to nag you, and just maybe you should go to the park every day and let them know I'm going to the park. You know what I mean? Do what you need to do so that way you're very clear. I'm going to leave the house that way. I'm not trapped in you, trapped in the house, and that way we're not fighting. Also, set up boundary lines, okay? Let them know, okay, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with you talking to me this way, one. Two, I don't feel comfortable talking about this subject. Three, or you know what? This subject matter isn't fruitful. I feel like it's going to bring more dissension. I feel that both points may be even valid. Totally understand it. However, I feel like both parties won't be heard, and that's going to make us butt heads and make this time unpleasant. So let's not do this. Just be very, very vocal the best way you can. Find your own voice. Also, if you recognize that you don't want to put up with that kind of stunt shows and shenanigans, go. I'm going to send a lovely card, maybe a small little gift, FedEx at home, and just have them open it, FaceTime them on the days that matters. Like, don't go if you know it's going to bring you more like horrible headspace. You have to think about that, because once you go and you see them and you get beat up and abused, you know what families do to us, you know what I mean? You get stressed out, then you have to come back and then process that by yourself in your apartment. That's just not good. It's not fruitful. So don't do it, okay? Enjoy this time by yourself, learn and love on yourself, and bless and love the chosen selected family within distancing that you can, that can make sure that you're taking care of yourself, okay? Lovely, lovely, lovely. Here you go. This is another thing that will help boost your holiday morale and spirits. Put up some holiday decorations, girl. Now, if you're Jewish, go ahead and put up the lovely Hanukkah decorations. If you're, you know, Anglo-Saxon Christian, go ahead and put up that lovely little Christmas tree. If you want to celebrate Kwanzaa, girl, do it. Feliz Navidad, ba 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 ba. If there's another holiday, I don't know, drop it in the comment section. We'll tell me, you know, for next week. But put up some decorations. They don't even have to be Christmas, girl. If you like the color blue and you just go, I want to decorate my house in blue for the holidays, then boo-boo, you do you. Okay, but just decorate, because you'll see it and it'll just make you, you know, feel good and decorated and happy on the inside. Lovely, right? Also, we want to think of this. It is important to give yourself a break. Everyone who they work in retail, if you're a mail carrier, or one of those who work in a factory or a farm or on anything on the front line, okay? Y'all people, first of all, we want to say thank you, because y'all have been keeping, one, us afloat with like food and just the different necessities that we need, mail and everything else. So we say thank you. But please make sure, if you can, see, I feel like sometimes that may be the problem, that like the frontline workers, the retail workers, the people who are factories and farms, I don't know if you necessarily can afford to take time to take a break. But if you can only take the 30 minutes that you, your lunch break, whatever that may look like, where you treat yourself, you go, bitch, I'm going to eat a steak today, or I'm going to do my nails, I'm going to rub, massage one hand, and then massage the other. Whatever you need to, but just take a break and love and honor yourselves, because you are on the front line. You are experiencing interactions with more people. So just do what you need to do. And we love you. And we say thank you. I'm learning pain. I'm learning pain. This segment of the show is where we spin the wheel to let us know which topics we should dive deep into. And if we don't get to your favorite topic this week, there is always next week. Now, this week on the wheel, we have self-love, advocacy, politics, mental health, ooh, and last but not least, good money management, honey. And we do mean good money management. Okay, let's take a spin. It looks like we're talking about advocacy. All right, today, family, our guest is Gustavo Carlos. I love that name, Gustavo. He is an HIV and mental health counselor at the Gay Center in New York. Hello, how have you been? How's it going?
Hey there, hi there. Hello there, Miss Monique. It's been going great. I'm very excited to be here and having a break from my own sessions. As a mental health counselor, I spend most of my days on the computer, on the phone, talking to people and helping them out. So it's a nice break.
real quick, since you work so well with others, making sure that... we're okay. What do you do to make sure you're okay?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. Well, I'm lucky enough to be, I live in Harlem in New York City. So I'm luckily close to a couple parks. So I try and get out there, have a walk every day, maybe a run when I'm really feeling energized. But it's hard with this COVID. You can't be running with a mask on and stuff. So I make walks and take my distance and things. And it's nice to get out.
Take my distance. I like that. I take my distance. My distance.
All right.
My distance. I'm using that word from my distance. Thank you. Okay, Gustavo. So some people are saying here in America that all we have are free condoms, while in Scotland, they have free tampons and pads. Does this diminish the work of marginalized communities who fought for access for contraception?
Yeah, because especially because just saying it's only condoms kind of simplifies the matter. Like if you go to the center over by the front desk next to our wonderful information and referral team, we have condoms, we have lube, we have dental dams, and we have folks that can talk to you about how to use them correctly, right? So just saying that it's only condoms, it kind of also diminishes like what's actually out there. And, you know, in New York City, we're blessed to have a lot of resources and a lot of advocacy for HIV prevention. But, you know, I've heard that other local agencies, shout out to Planned Parenthood throughout the country, have similar services, have similar access to supplies and things. So it does really, just saying it's only condoms doesn't really encompass what's really out there for folks.
Right. Also, if I'm not mistaken, which I could be because I am not a woman, but I remember in the 90s, maybe, not only condoms, not tampons, not pads and tampons, but I thought like birth control was also given. And I thought that was another like resource that was given. So I just feel like this is what I feel. I feel like, and let me say this correctly because I don't want to offend. Mm-hmm. I feel like when it's just like, oh, well, why do they get tampons when we get free condoms, I feel like you said it diminishes, and it diminishes the stories of people. Like a menstrual cycle is not taking someone's life, you know what I mean? And I feel like, so just to say, like there's so many values and so many reasons why we're using contraceptive, and it's not just for queer people. And so I feel like it's just being this, I just feel like there's just, you diminish and you ruin the impact of what was there. Like, I don't know. I live in Palm Springs right now, and I am meeting very, very distant, so many older men that have survived the AIDS epidemic. And so hearing their stories, it was so much more like no one was checking for us. No one was trying to make sure that we were, like, our lives were saved. Like, and so when you have the resource now, when you have this ability to have one, sex, which was one, shamed and demonized, and two, to be able to have sex and have sex safely with your partner of your choice, and that's for anyone, any like sexual orientation across the board, I feel like just to say, we just get tampons. I just feel like it's a slap in the face to all of the men that have gone on and passed, all of the work that has been done, and then almost a slap in the face for all of the men that are here and like surviving and thriving and like working through what it means to be like 50 plus after the epidemic. So I don't know. I just have like a mix of feelings. I feel like the people that were here in America, I'm just going to be safe to say, I feel like they were, it was a feminist group, and I would say that it was the white ones. Love you, but let's just breathe for a minute, because I feel that in specifically white feminism, it's very easy to rah, rah, rah on the, like, we are coming together, we're a woman, we're here. But I feel with white feminism, they forget that they sat right there next to their husbands as their husbands who were these plantation owners and colonists. So I just feel like just breathe, shake and stretch, number one. Number two, if you step outside of yourself, you will be able to see someone else. And I think that that would be the biggest thing about feminism, that it's the true uniting of women united across, you know, every country, every planet, whatever. So I feel like in stepping out of yourself, women who are marginalized community, we would be able to come together and then fight. Like, I feel like if the response was, hey, for my queer family, y'all have free contraception and we see all of the work you've done. Can y'all help us fight so we can, do you see how the conversation could have been shifted? Do you see how we've been like, sis, we know who to call. We got the email right here. Let me send it up. Do you want to add your name to it? Let's add Margaret's too. You know what I mean? I just feel like right now is not the time to be dividing. And I just feel like it's just very divisive. Like, you're doing the work, but it's colluding.
Well, it's, yeah, I think what you're speaking to is like the, I would say the true spirit of feminism that's talking about, working together as people of different genders, gender minorities, people that have been affected disproportionately by certain issues. So speaking to HIV and AIDS, we had, like you were saying, a lot of gay men that got sick, that died, that saw their, I work with a lot of folks that saw really good friends and partners pass away from the HIV epidemic. And there was a lot of, in the history of fighting HIV, there's been a lot of unity, a lot of the LGBT community came together. You hear stories about, it's like one of my favorites is hearing about lesbian women that came together and started taking care of some of these men as they were passing away, sort of creating little hospices and things. And we can't discount, of course, the work of ACT UP in New York that were in New York and across the US, right? They were coming up on these congressmen and saying, y'all need to do something, or y'all gonna do something. Y'all are gonna pay attention to us. You know, Ronald Reagan back in the day wouldn't even speak about HIV. So we have those challenges that we had to get over, and saying again, like going back to like, oh, all we have is free condoms, just doesn't speak to the struggle and sort of how far we came to get to those free condoms, right?
And also free condoms just aren't for queer people though. Like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. You know, I did go to high school where dudes were wrapping up their meat in Saran wrap. Gustav, I don't know if you're from a certain day and age where, you know, like, it was like...
People still do that. People still do
girl,
that.
Girl! Like, I'm young, so I'm so right. young. But I remember the stories where I heard that because, you know, condoms weren't around. And then I remember... And that was, like, in junior high, okay? So I was right. in junior high. But I remember by the time I got to high school, condoms weren't just... I remember dudes would get the condoms and be dicking the girls down behind the bleachers. So like this whole thing, you know what I mean? Okay, so this is my other question. Why do you think these people, I guess people who, the angry feminists, don't see the work done by these marginalized communities? Why do you think that is?
I think it has to do, sometimes it has to do with, you know, people's context and where people are coming from in their own life. So if you're, I can speak as a mental health provider, you see a lot of people believing things and going forward with norms based on, this is what my friends believe, this is what my family believed. So sometimes this line of thinking comes from people just not having diversity in their friendship group, not having diversity in their lives where they make friends.
You said diversity in your friendship group.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So that means if all of your Instagram photos look the same, I wonder, is there any diversity in the friend group? Because I feel like also just with that, and the reason that brought me to course is because I feel like a lot of times in our circles, and I feel like it can be done in queer circles and straight circles and whatever circles, but it's just easy just to get around people that just have your norm and don't make you uncomfortable. But yeah. I feel like there's no change mm-hmm. if there's no uncomfortability.
Right. Which I like in this conversation, like there is some of that discomfort of like sort of the call of like, oh, it's just condoms, and sort of the response being like, girl, it's more than that. And we fought hard to get here. So I like the tension you're creating right now, Monique, right? To sort of bring, you know, I think, and I say it all the time, like America does all right with these issues, but there is no reason that as a country that stands for, again, that says it stands for diversity, that stands for advancing its people, that doesn't mean we can't do better, right? It doesn't mean that we can have free condoms and free tampons and free pads. Right. It's just about like calling to task, you know, not calling to task and fighting with each other, but calling to task some of our representatives, some of our Congress people, which we've had a lot of folks and leadership step up and speak to those issues. So it's really those folks you got to bring this to.
Right. Because I feel like two things. One, I feel like tampons and pads are not just for women. Okay.
Right.
Not only women, mm-hmm. men, straight, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like that, once again, having to step outside of yourself as a whatever, having to go, okay, not only I as a woman standing in proxy, of course, you know what I mean? Like you have to, but that once again comes into, like you said, not knowing that other people other than women use just boom, right? So I feel mm-hmm. one, and then two, another thing with the response is I feel like now, I feel like at least, okay, I went on Drag Race 3 years ago. Whenever Hillary Clinton started to run, I would say like, that's when I started to hear so much about women's, their right for like abortion and da-da-da-da-da came back up, mm-hmm. but their bodies and making sure that they had like Planned Parenthood and all the different perks that Planned Parenthood did. So I essentially say like, with all of the conversations are surrounded around women's rights and women's bodies, I feel like why couldn't mm-hmm. have been positioned, I guess you're not the person on the other side fighting me, but I feel like the conversation, like the tide is shifting where it could have been, let's get, like you said, the governors, the mayors, whoever those politicians in place to make sure that we have, like, I don't know, I'm just frustrated, like it was such a instead of like, wait a minute, the tides are shifting, like why, let's get it over here as well instead of an angry bark. So that was just a rumble. Let me ask you this question. Look, I'm just offended. Maybe not. I'm not offended. Just like, oh, not offended, but just like, you know, when something just sour milk, like, oh, mm-hmm. you should have threw it out 3 days ago. Anyway, here you go. So what's going down in the world of health advocacy for the LGBT community?
That's a great question. I think it's I think there's a lot of really exciting things happening. I would say we have to, you know, you can't talk about HIV prevention without bringing up PrEP and PEP.
Isn't there a new one out?
Yes, there are two medications that can be used for PrEP. One of them is Truvada, and the new one is one I don't know.
I thought it started with the G. Maybe, no pun intended. I really did. No, because my friend was telling me that it's supposed to be a lot easier on your, like, on your organs and whatnot. So,
yeah. So one thing that happens is sometimes the Truvada, you know, like all medication, everyone's different. So medication works different on different people. So the people that Truvada might not work for may benefit from the other medication. And mm-hmm. another big news is that Truvada is now old enough that there is a generic version. So it is a lot more affordable for folks. And we also have a lot of education and pushing out of the initiative that people that are living with HIV and have undetectable viral loads can have a very, very, like we call it, negligent chance of passing on the virus. So we have lots of things that folks that are both negative and positive can do to take care of themselves and prevent the spread of HIV.
Okay, so two things. One, you said, okay, so I have questions about PrEP, right? Like I'm always eager to talk about it just because I'm not on it. It just makes me very, very nervous. Like I'm very nervous about the vaccine, girl, when it comes out. Like I don't know what they're mm-hmm. trying to put in my body. Also, and to be very, very honest, the fact that I know that the government really doesn't stand for homosexuals, but the FDA did approve something that's going to go into our bodies makes me just a little nervous. I'm just going to say it. So, I know I'm not the only one. So go ahead and just speak to your knowledge of what PrEP does, why we don't have to have a spirit of fear, you know, because perfect love casts out all fear. So we don't need to have fear about what's going to help save our lives, especially if you are bucking the house down, humping the house down. So go ahead, and that's the first question. Just give me a little bit about like why people should not be nervous, the studies, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. So with PrEP, there's a lot of, you have to be, your doctor works with you and monitors how your, you know, it can affect your livers, can affect your kidneys. So your doctor makes sure to check on those things. And you take your medication every day. And I think about 2 weeks is when the effects really kick in and really have the most HIV prevention factor, so to speak. And again, as you're on PrEP, you're also, you know, they also encourage you to use condoms to keep taking care of yourself because—
Say that again.
Oh, while you're taking PrEP, you're still using condoms.
Say it one more time, girl, just for the people in the back.
While taking PrEP, you still got to use condoms.
Because it's not getting rid of the drip, boo-boo, okay? And you can't be running up in somebody's house, girl. You're going to come back with a drip and a bum-bum, okay? Because I just want to speak, tell me in your field, right? I feel like freedom versus responsibility. Like there's this freedom of, oh, like I can have sex, all the sex I want, and I have to worry about HIV, which is, you know, lovely, great for a marginalized community that has been their sexuality, sexual orientation, sexual identity, gender identity, everything in the, that encompass has been demonized and suppressed. So now that you can, lovely. However, because of Christopher Columbus and them dirty folks who came over to this country first, we know that STDs is running rampant, ho. So, once again, can you just say that line? While on PrEP,
it is highly encouraged that you still use condoms.
He said encouraged. I mean, you have to. But when you come back, you got to go to the doctor because you got a bump that ain't a hair bump, boo-boo. We see you in these streets. Okay. Now, this is the second thing I wanted to ask you is, I was talking to my friend who is HIV positive, and we were talking about, you know, how there are so many medicines because I've met so many older men that have either HIV positive or they outlived the epidemic, you know, while it was going through the 80s and killing folks. Mm-hmm. So it was this whole thing of, I feel the conversations are generally around, woo, 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 we have medicine so you can live a long, healthy life. We can slow the spread. We can stop the spread of the virus. If you have the virus, you don't have to worry about the fear of transmitting it. However, I feel like the conversation of your mental health and like your psyche after, because my friend is really, really young, and to know that he's not even 30, and you know what I mean? And the stigma, like, yes, we see the people on the commercial, like, yeah, girl, you know, you just take your medicine and you live a long life. But like internally, this young man feels dirty on a regular basis. Like the shame his father would wash, gave him plasticware, and would make him eat off of paper plates. You know what I mean? Like it was so no one talks about. So if you could, where are the resources for that? Because I feel like, here you go. If you contracted the virus right before COVID, you know, and you were taking your medicine and now you're in your house stuck. If you were one of these crazy fools that were out here and you bloop, 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 and then you contracted the virus during COVID, like what, you can live, but how are you living? You know what I mean? In your mind, in your heart, in your, so can you speak to that?
That's a great question. And, you know, just to speak to the strengths of, like we said, you know, if you're taking your medication and you're undetectable, the HIV is untransmittable. That's very important for folks. And we have all the, you know, the prevention, the PrEP and PEP and stuff. But HIV stigma is real. The depression from an HIV diagnosis is real. The anxiety, the wondering, what are my friends going to think? What's my family going to think? Am I going to date? How are my partners going to take it? You know, the feeling of rejection, I think it's a very real thing for LGBTQ people. Most people don't like feeling rejected, but for our community, it's like a historic thing and like a historic trauma, I would say. So adding, you know, it's kind of like I'm already gay. You know, you might be gay and trans. So you're already like, I got these two things. And now I'm living with HIV. Now here's a third thing. Who's gonna da 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 da?
Yeah.
And your mind just, it can get away from you. So for folks that are living with HIV and just, you know, their mental health is is suffering, you can say. I highly encourage folks reach out to counselors, reach out to therapists, you know, at the LGBT center. I myself am one of the people on the team seeing folks and working with them through these issues. And we want to remind folks that you got to do what feels right for you, and you got to take care of yourself first. And you can't really take care of yourself, and you also can't take care of, you know, your mental health affects your physical health so much. So if you're feeling depressed and anxious, your body can't keep up with all that. So it keeps you from being undetectable. It could keep you from, you know, if you're depressed and don't want to get out of bed and forget to eat, you might not be taking your medication, or you might be taking medication and having a really harsh side effect. So it's very important to take care of your mental health as you're taking care of all these other things that we're dealing with. And with COVID, you know, we got the COVID depression, and now you got the HIV depression. It's about to be winter. We got the seasonal depression. It's hard.
Very hard. And I just wanted you to speak to that. You know what? Last question. Why is testing and contraceptive and mental health, because specific at the LGBTQ community, you can get it. It's there, girl. So just call, just go. And I believe it's free, right?
Yes, we do free counseling at the center.
See? Boom. Okay. And I believe that's across statewide, nationwide. Okay. Lovely. Okay. So why is testing, contraceptive, and mental health care access still important after these many years?
Oh, that's a really good question. The access to all kinds of care is just always important, you know, and I think we've done a really good job sort of fighting for that support in our communities. You know, folks that don't have health insurance, folks that are low income, have a hard time accessing some of these health resources. So luckily there's a lot of support in communities. You can reach out, you know, I always give a shout out to Planned Parenthood, hashtag care no matter what, that will see you like on a sliding fee, or will help connect you with health insurance. At the center, we have folks that help people get connected. If you are newly diagnosed with HIV, or if you're living with HIV, there are resources to get connected to health insurance and to healthcare. And then with mental health care, it's, I will say that one's a challenging one sometimes, because you have to, you know, this mental health is so stigmatized in our country. So you have to get past that stigma, right?
Very true.
And then you have to find a therapist, and then you have to make sure that therapist knows what a gay person is. And then you build that relationship, right? And that costs money. So for me, that's why I'm so passionate about this work, and that I can give mental health services for free, is that it's expensive to be in mental health. So it's always good to find resources that will connect you with free or affordable mental health care, so that you can watch your mind, watch yourself, show up better for your friends, show up better for yourself. You know, we say that mental health issues are anything that keep you from living, laughing, and loving. And everyone needs.
Oh, that's so good. That is a beautiful way to describe it, because I feel like a lot of times we just throw around the word mental health, girl, you know, mental health checking, yada, yada, yada. But you said say it again.
A mental illness is anything that keeps you from living, laughing, and loving.
Ah, so good. Mm-hmm. Gustavo, this was amazing. Thank you so much. Can you send us a link to your LGBTQ center in New York? And just with maybe just the page of like all of the resources, so that people who watch will put it up on our social media feed.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Monique.
Bye. Thank you, lover. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, family. Our second guest this week is Reverend Rob Newells. He's the director of the National Program for BlackAIDS.org. Based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Reverend Rob!
What's going on?
Hello! How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Reverend Rob, I don't want to take too much of your time. I'm so excited you're here. I told my producer, Danielle, it said Reverend, and I said, oh, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous, baby.
Right. She set me up, and then I read the rest of the bio, and I was like, oh, see, a people perish without a word. Right. Boom.
Hey. So
Reverend Rob. Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Because you don't look it, because, you know, we're Black and we are, you know, forever hydrated, moisturized, because the good Lord is faithful. Mm-hmm. You're a man of a particular age. So I just want, you know, that's how Wendy Williams says it. I wanted to ask you this question. Take us back to the height of the AIDS epidemic and what it was like. And the reason I want to know that question is because one, I recently moved to Palm Springs because it's beautiful. And
the weather is nice.
Just gorgeous, okay? Like, I feel sorry for these hoes in Hollywood. Just like, sorry. You feel like you're in an island. Mountains, gorgeous. Anyway, I've met so many, met socially distanced, of course, you know, through the social webs, that are like, oh, I'm 50 plus, and you talk to them about their life, and they have outlived HIV or the AIDS epidemic, and so many have survivor's guilt, and just knowing how far we've come, just as someone who lived during that time, what was that like, one, what was it like, and especially as a man of color, Black man, so that's like a double, like, minority in one. So just give us a little, like, insight.
So, you know, I just turned 50 years old, so I'm just joining that 50 plus club. And I grew up, I'm born and raised in Oakland, California, right across the bay from San Francisco. And in the early 80s, you know, I was a kid, I was a young teenager. And all I saw about HIV and AIDS was these skinny white men in San Francisco at the hospital. I didn't really relate to it. I just saw that over there across the bridge in this other community. But my mother had this little gay Japanese coworker who I used to get his hand-me-down clothes every season because he bought new stuff and gave me last season stuff. And so she had gay friends. And then in the late 80s, I lost like a choir director. And then I lost another choir director. And then I lost an uncle and a first tenor in the choir. And all these folks were dying. But it was not HIV. It wasn't AIDS. No, nobody was out.
No. Okay, that's what I had to mean. When you just said you lost, I was just like, wow. Okay, go. Okay.
So but I realized in retrospect, right? So I'm a teenager during this time. And these choir directors, so like, I was like the only young guy in the choirs at churches and stuff. They clearly, like, I didn't come out until I was in my mid-20s. I didn't understand sexuality at the time. But they always saw it in me and surrounded me. Like, they were my protectors when I was growing up. And I didn't understand why until much later. But they had all been living with HIV. They saw that I was this young gay guy. And they were just trying to protect me. But I saw all these people die in my life. And to understand that it was HIV and AIDS, and to understand that it was really in my community, it wasn't just a gay white disease. That was really important for me for when I began to explore my own sexuality and understand my sexuality. When I was in college years later at University of Southern California, being around, I was in the students, one of the program board organizations, leader of a student organization, and was in communication with the leader of the gay student assembly. And he saw something in me that I didn't see at the time. But he was like, he would have meetings of his organization and be like, oh, it's good to see you come out. I'm like, I didn't come out of anything yet. Right. But you know, all that growing up, not understanding my own sexuality, but seeing this stuff around me. Once I did come out and had this circle of gay friends, who a lot of them were living with HIV before there was good medication, really affected me. Like, I was negative at the time. I've been positive now for 15 years. But because of my experience with those folks in my past, I started volunteering and working in kind of HIV education five, seven, 8 years before I tested positive. I was trying to get the word out to other folks.
Yeah. I don't know, everyone that I talk to lately, you know, when I hear, because I love history, and I've always just been like, what was it like? One, I think maybe for a plethora of reasons, I feel like I've just always identified with an older soul. Also, I feel that the men from I would say like 40 plus. When they talk about the community, it's just like, it sounds like community. Now, I know we probably had the same issues, the same shady ass queens, the same bush queens. You know, nothing much has really changed. Probably the fact that social media has just made us more separate and more individual instead of being more community based. But so for all of those reasons, it's just, I love hearing the stories. But when you and others speak about losing people, like people dropping like flies, like I've never, and I don't know how to process it. And so like how to process, I mean, we can get the word out about HIV, but like how to process the loss,
Just before talking to you, I was listening. So Phil Wilson is the founder of the Black AIDS Institute. He retired just a couple of years ago. So for 20 years, just about, he was running this organization. And he was speaking just a few minutes ago for World AIDS Day, talking about, you know, what he's done since his retirement is start to grieve some of those losses. What a lot of people did back then was just get to work. Like,
yeah,
the losses inspired the activism, the ACT UP crowd, and all the folks that continue to storm conferences and protest. Like, that's how you dealt with the loss at the time. And so it's taken folks, until you get out of the work, you don't really take the time to exhale and start to process that stuff for yourself.
I just want to cry with everyone. First of all, Reverend Rob, this has been amazing. I have one more slight question. I don't want to hold you. As a queer Black person, knowing what HIV is to us and how it runs rampant because of the whole DL, what would you speak to like young queer youth? Like if you standing in proxy right now, I mean, you're already doing the work, but right here, right now, standing in proxy, you being that guard for some young queer gay Black boy or queer little girl coming up, what would you speak to them?
You know, for the little girls and the little boys and the little trans girls and little trans boys, it's really, so the first thing I would say is that guilt and shame have never been an effective public health strategy.
I'm gonna receive this word. I'm gonna just put my hands up. Go ahead.
For me, it's really all about giving folks the information. If folks have all the information that's available to them, they know how to protect themselves, they know what to protect themselves against, then they can make their own decisions. Like, we're all individuals. I can't tell you to wear a condom. I can't tell you to take a pill. I can't tell you to take an injection every other month. I know those things will help you, but you can make the decisions for yourself. Now, we have to make sure that there are structures in place so that folks can take advantage of what's out there for them and right. can and feel comfortable making the right decisions for themselves. So, you know, mental health care is important for folks. Making sure that people have food and safe places to live are important. Like all of those social structural things around the HIV epidemic are what really drive the epidemic. So if we give people all the information and resources that they need, then they can make the right decisions for their own health.
I just want to say thank you so much. I was about to say Pastor Rob. Reverend Rob, thank you. I'm going to just put your link where I'm going to do the socials, and we will just put a link to your website, so your foundation, your organization, so we can get the word. I just love that you're just one young, melanated, Black, and educated. I just live, and you love the Most High God. Like, ooh, woo, woo, woo. Yes. Okay, I'm going to be looking up you.
And God loves us.
Amen. Okay.
In all genders and sexualities.
That part. I'm going to look you up and just send you a message on Instagram. You're such a blessing. Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right, love. Thank you.
Bye. All right. And our next special guest is Pearl Ricks from Reject to just talk about why it's important for women to, one, have access to pads and tampons and what it means to Poland. And then what we could do to get that ball rolling over here.
So anywhere that you have people that are menstruating is going to be important to provide them with the things that their bodies need. So when you look at how tampons and pads and even diapers, panty liners are seen in America, they're seen as these luxury items. They're seen as these things like, you know, a sports car or something. It is not that. These are items that people need to feel good about themselves and to be healthy. When we consider how these items are talked about in legislation and in very male-dominated legislatures, we have to make sure that we're like pulling into focus, like these are things that people need. This isn't something that, you know, people are electing into. And we need to make sure that folks have access to the full spectrum of things that they would need to have a healthy life. We talked about reproductive justice and about it being not just about, you know, agriculture and food or financial stability or environmental safety, but also about, you know, whether somebody wants to reproduce or not. And the last part of that is justice. So there's going to need to be a realignment of not only rights and access, but like a reworking and sometimes a dismantling of the systems we currently have to make sure that things are taken care of across those spectrums. When we're considering in America having things like pads, tampons, I'd like to include panty liners and things like menstrual cups available. There's been a lot of work on what's called a pink tax. There are a lot of activist advocates and, you know, some allies that are in legislation that are trying to eliminate tax on these items. And that saves, you know, a city like New Orleans would see over $1 million of savings with the elimination of a tax. Could we imagine how much people would save and how much money people could put towards food, bills, education, other things that they need if they didn't have to spend money on these products at all? So yeah, I'd like to broaden that conversation and remind folks like these aren't luxury items. These aren't fun things. These are things that we need to make sure that we are healthy and we can feel good about ourselves and we can interact with the world in the way that we want. When folks say things like, oh, all we have are condoms here, it is very dismissive of the work that has been done by people who are HIV and AIDS positive and also like people who are allies, advocates for people who are POS. And I think that we cannot erase and we cannot devalue that work and we cannot devalue the strength that it took and that it continues to take to get us to this point, because it is a foundation for all of the other work that we are doing. And it's kind of the idea of like you're building off of the shoulders of people who came before you. And those shoulders were strong and those shoulders were going through so much and so much stigma and so much harassment and so much violence. And honestly, that stigma, harassment, and violence is still perpetuated in our culture today. It's not even a closed chapter of American history before people like want to devalue it. But I want to elevate that and to applaud the work that continues by those that are working on behalf of the POS community and those that are POS themselves.
All right, thanks, Pearl.
Allie.
Girl, now it's your time. I would love to introduce our call and response part of the show. Find a friend. Each week, I will be asking you a question, and I want to hear how you feel, what you think, and how you get down. Last week, I asked, who is better, Destiny's Child or 3LW? And here is what you all had to say.
Hey, this is Davion, and it don't matter where I'm from, I pick Destiny's Child over 3LW because all three of them make one Kelly.
Hi, Monique. This is John from Denver, Colorado. And Destiny's Child is obviously better than 3LW. I mean, Beyonce.
Hi, I'm Jamie from Long Beach, California, and I think that Destiny's Child is better than 3LW because they have the queen, Beyonce. She wasn't the queen back then, but we saw her potential. And I think everyone could sing in that group versus just Naturi and Adrian.
All right. Well, you know, Destiny's Child, girl, I mean, they did slay it. They really did set the bar very, very high. You know, in 3LW, it's just iconic for promises. This week, I want to know, what are your weird holiday food combos? Or what are your favorite holiday foods that are a must-have? Like, if it's not on the plate, it's not the holiday. All right, family, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Ace of Hearts. It was so much fun learning with you. You know, I love to learn with y'all because I want us to be better together. I want to say special thanks to all of my guests, and we will see you here same time, same place, here next week on EDGA. Make sure that you subscribe and tell your friends, girl, subscribe!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.